John's gospel and a couple of chapters in that great gospel, the 17th chapter. And these are the words of Jesus: "Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world." So he's talking to the Father. He's speaking about his followers. And he's saying to the Father, "You sent me here for a purpose. And now I'm sending my followers to do the very same thing." Then in chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me," now he's talking directly to his disciples, "as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. I want you to go do what I've done." And what did Jesus do? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So, Father, we thank you for truth. And I know that you're going to reveal it, because that's why the Holy Spirit has come. He's the revealer of all truth. But we need more than just information today. We need to be transformed by it. Change our hearts. Change the way we think, so that we don't get squeezed, as Paul said, into the ways of the culture. But we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You have worksheets, so I encourage you to use those, because they're very beneficial. They'll help you follow along and stay on track. And you can also do the very same thing in our Bible app, YouVersion, and follow along the outline as well. That's a very handy way of doing it digitally. But we're in a month or so of discipleship messages. These are challenging messages, because we're asking God to help us, because God wants to take us places we've never been. And to do that means we've got to change some of the things that we do, because some of the things that we do, if they're not working, continuing to do them, as the philosophers will say, is insanity. Okay? Because nothing changes unless we make some adjustments. So what do we need to realign? What is it in our lives we need to realign? So we've talked about preparation for the kingdom and its work, how we should worship, talked about discipleship, we've talked about giving and using our talents. And when we get to heaven, there are four things we're going to do there forever. We're going to worship and serve God forever and ever. That's not all we're going to do when we get to heaven. Some people think we're just going to rest and relax. And no, we're going to work, except we won't get tired, okay? That's the benefit, right? Because our bodies will never get tired. We're going to fellowship. Well, God's into work, by the way, just for an awakening for some folk. God's into work, and he works, and he wants us to work. Fellowship. We're going to have continuous, transparent, unified fellowship. And we have to learn that here as part of the kingdom, setting aside differences and opinions and aligning ourselves with what God's word says. Disciples will always become, we'll always be disciples or followers, becoming more like Jesus, learning his ways, loving, living, and leading like him. And then use my talents and abilities here. So we serve God forever there with the giftings he's given us. We hone them, we perfect the gifts here. So when we get there and he puts us to work, we are using them to the best of the capabilities God's given us. There are two things we're not going to do in heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven, and we will not be sinning. The other thing we cannot or will not do in heaven, we can't share Jesus with those who need to be born again. Those two things will not be done in heaven. But God has left us here, since we've been born again, to finish his work. Which of the two, sin or sharing Jesus, do you think God wants us to continue to do while we're here? Which of the two? That's to share the good news with others, amen? So that's the purpose of the morning message today. We were made to share the good news with others of what God has done for us. And now that we're born again, our mission is to share what Jesus has done in our lives. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." So what is he sending us to do? He's sending us to tell everyone we're in contact with that God loves them. He's not angry with them. Everyone we get in connection with, you're to share the good news of the grace of God with. Number one, our purpose on earth is to share the good news. So how will people hear unless we tell them? How will they know of the goodness of God unless we share our story of what God's done in our lives with them. The statistics tell us, this is sad, I hate to even quote it, 95% of all American Christians, put that word in quotes, never lead anyone personally to the Lord. That's staggering. 95%. Another statistic says that 90% of all American Christians never share their faith. They don't even bother to talk about it. You recall that Peter denied Jesus on three separate occasions. You might say, well, I would never deny the Lord like Peter did. But every time we're silent about our faith, when we know there's a door for me to speak about it, that's a form of denying Jesus. Do not be a Secret Service Christian. We're living in the greatest time in history. What opportunities we have. For centuries, others have used their lives and sown them into the kingdom of the Lord, even willing to lay down their lives, sown the seed, dying for the message of Jesus. And by the way, that's still happening today. We are the generation that's to bring the last day harvest. Jesus said, the fields are white already to harvest. He's saying, when the field is ripe, you go pick it. We must act immediately in the harvest, or we lose it. And we can't afford to lose a generation of people who need the Lord. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. We're surrounded in the culture by people who are lost, who think they're going to heaven just because they want to do good things. And that's not the way you get to heaven. The fields are white. They're ripe. They're ready to harvest. And our church is strategically placed to bring in this last day harvest for the Lord. Now, I'm not speaking of forcing Jesus on anybody. That's not what Jesus wants any of us to do. But I'm speaking about sharing our faith with people. Non-believers have to hear the word sometimes up to 7 times before they receive it. It's not our job to make them get saved. It's our job to simply tell our story of what the Lord has done for us. Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. They were in Jerusalem when Jesus taught them that principle. Jesus was saying, begin by sharing your faith with the people immediately around you. He's saying, go home, tell those in your house, tell those that you work with and mingle with, tell them what I've done for you. There was a man in the Bible, he was possessed by a legion of devils, and Jesus delivered him instantaneously one day. And after Jesus did that, he got so excited about the Lord, he said, I want to quit everything I'm doing, and I just want to travel with you, and I want to be with you. I want to walk away from everything and just hang out with you from now on. And Jesus looked at him and said, no. He said, I want you to go back home and tell everyone what I have done for you in your life. That's what you're tasked to do. When God has done for us what he's done for all of us, we have a responsibility to tell others. And Jesus is telling you that very thing today. Your mission begins at home. It begins in the neighborhoods where you live, in the community, at the place where you work or go to school. It begins with your friends, family members, and coworkers. You share Jesus because you're excited about what he's done in your life. You're grateful. You're eternally saved. Darkness is out of your heart. You have hope in your heart. Now, sometimes in the excitement of the moment, we tell the Lord, I'll go to China. I'll go to Asia. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. You just tell me where you want me to go, and the Holy Spirit will say to you, why don't you just go home to your family and tell them what I've done for you? Just go home and tell them what I've done for you. We want to all go to Ecuador or somewhere else, but we're unwilling to just go around the block or say something in the place where we work or speak up in the class where we're being educated. What God has done for us. You don't have to be a salesman for God. All you have to do is be a witness for him. And a witness is someone who tells what they've seen. We heard a lot about witnesses in the last week and people who supposedly saw or heard or observed, and then when they questioned them, they really didn't turn out to be witnesses. A witness tells what's happened to them, what they've experienced. No one can be a better witness of your life than you. Tell somebody, I am a witness. Now, some are fearful of sharing their faith, and that's why you need the Holy Spirit. You can feel inadequate about talking about the goodness of God. All he expects you to do, you don't have to be theological. You don't have to have attended a Bible college. All he wants you to do is witness. Tell what happened in your life. Tell your story. Some Christians want to argue with people about what the Bible says or theological principles. No, argue. Just tell the story. And they may ask, well, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Or simple. I don't know the answers to all those questions, but let me tell you what God did in my life. God's at work in our world and culture in these days. God's wrapping things up, and he needs all of us to jump in and do the job and be a participant in the kingdom harvest. Secondly, Jesus has a mission for every believer to witness to unbelievers. It's our responsibility. Well, I don't have that calling. It's not a matter of a calling. He said, everyone who has experienced his love has a responsibility to share what God has done for each. We are the body of Christ, right? We are to finish carrying out the mission. Jesus began the mission. We are to finish what he gave us to do. Go into all the world and make disciples of tribal groups wherever you find them. And according to the word, every person who has ever lived will take a journey into eternity after we leave this earth. The rich, the poor, the great, the small, all going to stand before Almighty God. And my task is to get you to stop and think about eternity. Stop and think about your life. Stop and think about the lives of people you say you love. Stop and think of them. My goal, to get you to share the good news that what the Lord has done for you in your life. I'm grateful. I had a mother that did that with all seven sisters and four brothers in her family. And before it was all said and done, they all made their way into eternity because none of them personally knew Jesus. She was the first in the family. Stop and think about where you're going. How did she do that? She served. She prayed. She was there for them. When they watched her life not fall apart when trouble came, and theirs fell apart when trouble came, they wanted to know why. And she was more than willing to tell them why. Stop and think. The clock is ticking down on your mission. We can't delay days and weeks. It's 11:59. Terrorists have made it clear there's a storm coming on our planet. Biological weapons, nuclear devices. Let me tell you, it's later than you think, and we've got to be serious about sharing faith with those we claim to care about. We have to get into the harvest as soon as we possibly can. Your mission of being a witness will give your life real meaning because that's the only thing you're going to take into eternity. If you want to know the meaning of life, share with others what God has done for you. If you fulfill your mission on earth, you will not have wasted your life. And if only one person is in heaven because you took the time to walk them through the process, you will have made a difference in someone's life for all of eternity. So you pray, God, use me for your glory. Use the work I do. Let it get attention focused on you. Let people ask me, why? What's different? What's going on? Start praying, God, put someone in my path so I can just simply tell this story to them. Everybody say, I can make a difference. Remember, Jesus said, when the gospel is preached into all nations, the end will come. So we need to get busy and share our faith so we can see the Lord's return. Number three, nothing matters more to Jesus than getting people to heaven. That's why we're having communion tonight. That's why he calls for the church to gather together to do this, because nothing matters more to him. And our God desires that none be lost, that all come to the saving knowledge of his son. And sometimes people will say, well, I just don't believe you Christians. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe there's a heaven, and I don't believe there's a hell. I think it's one shot, and that's the end. Some things are true whether you believe them or not. And that's why it's so important that you share your story as to what Jesus has done in your life, because you are a living witness. You are a testimony. when people pick up the Bible and they begin to read it without the help of the Holy Spirit regenerating their heart, they can look at that and go, I don't believe that. I'm not going to accept that. But they can't argue with a changed life. When you begin to tell them what you were and what you are, it's very difficult to argue about the transformation. And the longer you are walking with Jesus, the longer you know Jesus, it becomes unfortunate that sometimes we don't hang around with as many unbelievers as we once did. But you do have to work with them. You do have to interact with them. You have to do business with them. You still have to have fellowship with them. And the Master wants us to use our lives to touch those who need Jesus, the unchurched, the backslider, those who've been bruised in their soul, the blind, the lame, those who are wounded. They need the Lord. And God wants to use your life in his kingdom. Now, there's only one event on earth that causes all of heaven to celebrate, not the governor's election. And more so in some states than others. Not the presidential inauguration. That doesn't get heaven to celebrate. It's not when your team wins the World Series. No. Sad to tell you that. It's not going to happen in heaven. There's one event on earth that causes all of heaven to rejoice. When one person repents and gives his or her life to the Lord, all the angels rejoice when one person comes to Jesus. So our mission to bring one person to the Lord today, one soul tomorrow to the Lord, one person at a time, bringing people into the kingdom. And because it's not about us, as long as we start thinking, well, I've just got to come to church so I'm happy. I have to find happiness in my life. You know, I have to find this sense of pleasure. We come to church, we celebrate, we rejoice in the good things that God's done for us, but we should not and cannot afford to stop there. We leave church and go out into the field to do the work of the church, the work of the kingdom. You know, the moment you forget about yourself and start living for his kingdom and sharing your story, your life takes on all new purpose and meaning. Lord, help us. We need to warn others that death is not the end. It's just the beginning. And the word says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. You have to share this story of eternity. People need to know this isn't all there is. The best way to warn others is to tell people what your life was like BC and what your life is today. Tell them, I was a mess. Jesus changed my life and everything changed. There's only one name under heaven among men whereby others can be saved, and it's Jesus. There's only one person who can turn our lives around. So the word says we can't save ourselves. We cannot earn our way into heaven. Religion is not the way. Well, I belong to... No, religion is not the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you tell your story. That's all you have to do. You're not selling a car. You simply tell people what Jesus did for you. I was lost. I was wandering around. I was trying all kinds of means to satisfy my life. Now I'm found. I was so blind, I couldn't comprehend the spiritual matter. Now, he has opened my eyes and I can see. Life had no meaning or purpose. I gave my life to Jesus. Everything began to turn. You need to meet this Jesus I'm talking about. God has written the story of your life to share that no one else has. You have a story unlike my story. You have a story to tell that is different from someone else's. God broke the mold when he made you, baby. He did. Tell that to somebody. God broke the mold when he made you. Yeah. Number four, when you gave your life to the Lord, you became God's messenger. When you said, Jesus, be Lord of my life, he called you to be his messenger. God wants you to speak into the culture, and he will speak through your life. You might feel as though you don't have anything to share. That's a lie from the enemy. No one has a story quite like yours. You can touch people I'll never be able to touch. You interact with people I'll never interact with. And when you say, I felt like ending it all, and some people have even reached that point before they came to know the Lord, but Jesus stepped into my life and changed everything. Let me ask you a question. Is anybody going to heaven because of your life? Are you willing to tell your story to others so they'll believe? You see, it becomes a passion. My mom was determined, I'm not going to be the only one in my family that goes to heaven. I want them all to go with me. And she got them to all go with her. They're all there now, celebrating. Are you willing to invite people to church at least so they can hear the message of the gospel? Your mission field is everywhere you are. You don't have to go to Asia to have a mission field. There's a mission field surrounding us everywhere we are in the culture in which we're living today. Success isn't about how many you've led to the Lord. It's about sharing your faith with those you interact every day with. That's success in God's terms. It's about allowing God to use you for His glory, because we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Folks, we've been cowering over the last few decades in America. We're afraid of people yelling at us and doing crazy things. Don't be fearless. We don't have to worry about people yelling at us. We've got the message of messages. We make no apology for the message of Jesus. It's not as difficult to find an open door for these conversations as you think. They'll open it up when they begin to tell you about their brokenness. Everybody's got brokenness. We live on a broken planet, and everybody here is broken in some fashion. Then you ask, do you have any spiritual beliefs? Get you through this? You can't imagine the kind of answers you're going to get when you ask that question. If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? That'll open it up for you. Well, I'm going to heaven. Well, why do you think you're going to heaven? Because I haven't hurt anybody. And I haven't stole anything from anybody. I'm a good person. But if your beliefs are wrong, wouldn't you want to know the truth? And you begin to share back and forth all kinds of questions you can ease right into in your conversation. They'll open up when they're hurting. People begin to tell you their story when they're hurting. You simply allow the conversation to be steered in the direction about what the Lord has done in your life. And once you share your faith in Jesus, you have an opportunity to pray with them. That's the least you should do. Hey, you're having a hard time. Do you mind if we just bow our heads right here and let me pray with you and ask God to help intervene in the circumstance you're in? And if they respond well to that, say, you know, and by the way, I have a connect group I'm a part of. But you have to be a part of one to be able to say that. So if you haven't joined yet, I would encourage you to do that right today before it's over, because you need an opportunity to invite them, because that'll be easier than inviting them to a church service, which they might go, nah. But connect group, I have a group of people just like us. We sit together once a week and we share a little bit and we pray for each other, encourage each other. And I'm telling you, people are more open to the gospel today than ever. And once someone tells you they're going to heaven because they're a good person, you say, no one's going to heaven because they're good. Now, we would want that. We would wish that. We don't wish bad on anybody. But no one's going to heaven because they've been good. And you can explain there's only one perfect one, and He died for us, and He died in our place, and there's no one perfect. And no matter how good we think we are, we've all failed in some area of life. And the only way we're going to get to heaven is by trusting in the only one perfect individual that ever lived and trusting what He's done for us. It's not about how good we are. It's about how good He has been. Amen? And when someone says, I just don't believe God can forgive me for what I've done, you just tell them, wait a minute. The Lord said, whoever calls on His name shall be saved. The worst of the worst, that doesn't make any difference what crimes they've committed. If you want to experience that, you go share open-heartedly to people in maximum prison, secure prisons, which we've had the privilege of doing. We're talking about the most hardened of criminals, killers, rapists. I mean, the worst of the worst, as we would categorize them. But when we get into a service and we share the love of the Lord and you watch tears begin to stream down some faces, and hearts that are genuinely changed. Listen, God will forgive no matter what we've done. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. Doesn't mean there aren't consequences. Doesn't mean we still don't pay a price. But especially when we are guilty of those crimes, But thank God there is forgiveness. God so loved the world. He's not mad at people. He loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. Whoever calls on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So one reason people don't share their faith, they believe the lie that people aren't interested in spiritual issues. Nothing's further from the truth. That's why people are into all kinds of crazy religious ideas. Americans are more interested in spiritual things today than they were a decade ago. Gallup did a poll, discovered 66 million Americans have no church home. No church home. 35 million of them said, I would attend church if someone invited me. 35 million Americans are sitting home today waiting for you to invite them to church. Think about that. Number five, Jesus commissioned us to go into all the world to preach the gospel to all of his creation. You are either a cultural Christian, which is basically a carnal Christian, or you're a spirit-filled Christian. A cultural Christian is saved, but very self-centered. It's all about my needs. Me, me, me. Church is kind of like going to the restaurant to get what I want. And a spirit-filled Christian knows I'm on a mission field wherever I am. I have opportunities waiting everywhere I go. Say to somebody, I have a mission. Cultural Christians are looking for personal fulfillment. They just want a feel-good religion. And we've got a lot of that going on in our culture. Jesus is kind of the Sunday, 1 hour, maybe two, slice of my life. Kind of, I got the pie, I got all these pieces in it. He's one slice. And God is never going to settle to just be a slice of the pie of your life. And many times they never share their faith because they're so concerned only about self-satisfaction. They're easily proselytized because all they care about is what my needs, my needs, my needs. Spirit-filled Christians use their lives for the kingdom of God. They spend themselves. It's not about me. Tell your neighbor, it's not about me. Yeah. God wants each to pray for those core workers he's placed you next to. You begin praying for associates. Watch what God will do for them. God will open the door for them to tell you what they're hurting about. When you pray for them, pray for your family, pray for your friends. My mom used to spend hours in prayer for the members of her family. And one by one, when trouble came, guess who they called? Rose, could you pray for us? Whenever you pray for the lost, your heart begins to change toward them. If you begin to pray to God to give you opportunities, you'll have more opportunities than you can handle in a day. You start praying, God, give me souls. Then watch how many people God brings to you when you share your story. You're amazed. And I'm wondering, well, how many spirit-filled Christians do we have in our church that we're concerned about the mission as much as we are concerned about coming to gather together to have an enjoyable time? Christians are to build bridges, not build barriers. We are to be a people that open our hearts and our lives because, listen, we were all lost. We were just as lost as anybody in our culture. The person you sit with in the classroom, the relative you care about. Give me souls, Lord. So give us souls, God. They don't have to look like us. They don't even have to know their sexual identity. They don't need to be free from addiction. They may smell like marijuana. They may use bad language. They might be living together. But give us souls. They might be black or white or Latino or Asian, but give us souls. We dropped restrictions. They don't have to be like us. We're not selective about who God wants to bring into his kingdom. Thank God he wasn't selective when he chose us. Yeah. So we have an obligation to tell the world the message. I was thinking of George Whitefield, who changed the course of the entire northeastern United States during his Great Awakening in the 1700s. And what he did, he preached in all 13 colonies of the then few that were here in our culture. All the coal miners in Wales, unbelievable how many he preached to there, who were notorious in their debauchery and their way of life. He was in constant prayer, give me souls or I'll die. He made 30 transatlantic voyages in the 1700s to preach the gospel to people. In England, the stodgy church at the time that was no longer spirit-filled, they asked him to leave because he was only going to preach there the undiluted gospel. They wanted this new type gospel that was be nice to everybody kind of gospel. And he said, no, I'm going to preach the truth. People get saved and get born again when you tell them the truth. And he preached the truth. Give me souls or I die. Christians are called to build bridges. Because sometimes the attitude has been, you can't join our club unless you think like us or look like us or dress like us. Let the Holy Spirit do the transformation. All we're to do is present Jesus and what he's done in us. We're not called to condemn anybody. We're called to reach out and share good news. So if we're going to fulfill the purpose, we're to reach our particular world that God's assigned us to. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. You reach out to the loveless. You share your story. When was the last time you shared your story, your journey of where Jesus found you? It's good to go back and remember. I was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus always rooted for the underdog. Look at the people he surrounded himself with. The Pharisees, religious leaders of the day, accused him. Said, look at him. He sits and eats with publicans and sinners. These were the people they looked their noses down at because they were the people who were abusing the law and breaking the law and doing, you name it, they were doing it. And these religious people, no, he can't be a real man of God and hang around with people like this. He should be hanging around with us. No, he said, I didn't come to hang around with you. I came to find the lost, the people who need a doctor, the people who need to be made well. That's why he called Matthew to himself, of all people, the tax collector in the community. And then he brought all his crazy friends with him to meet Jesus for lunch. It's amazing how that message continues to go. Jesus always looking for the person, the woman taken in the very act of adultery. You remember the story. They were ready to put her to death on the spot. And Jesus said, anybody here without sin, feel free to pick up the stone and throw it. Always rooted for the person to give an opportunity to turn. Amen? He reached to everybody that people ignored. He reached to the powerless, to the outcast. He cared for those like no one else in the culture did. That's our mission, to reach out to people that normally we don't associate with because we become Christians and we're kind of goody two-shoes now, right? No, those are the people we should touch. We need hundreds of members who go reach beyond themselves. People who are connected, then become followers of Jesus, and God uses them for his glory. Connected to him, connected within the body, and then making connections all over the community. So when you stand before God, you say, I lived for your purpose, not for my own. We'll be able to say that you love Jesus enough that you shared what he did for you with others, or you only cared about me. It's not as difficult as you think to say, God, open a door. Show me where I can share my faith and just tell people what he did. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me to your home. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared about me. I was in prison and you visited me. When was the last time you did any one of those things? See, the difference between a cultural Christian and a spirit-filled Christian. I'd rather pastor 100 spirit-filled Christians than 10,000 cultural Christians any day. Just give me 100 people who care about what God cares about. We can shake our city. Amen? Jesus said, when you've done these things to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done them as unto me. That's what Christianity is all about, healing the broken. It's about helping hurting people. Number six, if you get involved in your mission to the world, it will cost you. It always does. It will cost self-centeredness. I got to stop thinking about me first. We will have to break out of us being the center of the universe. It will push us out of our comfort zone. It will cost us some time. It will cost us some energy. Sometimes it's inconvenient. It will cost us finances. Yeah, because the message has to be packaged and sent. And once you become a Spirit-filled Christian, you live out, it's no longer about me. It's about Him. The message about Him. Listen to what Jesus said. And I assure you that everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake or for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, property, and listen, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, property, along with persecution. We don't like that part, but that's in there. Not everybody's going to go, yay. Somebody's going to go, get out of here. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. So I get the best of all, right? He said, no one has ever given up anything from my kingdom, but what I do not reward you and bless you in multiple ways in this world and in the next. He's telling us that whatever we do for him is not in vain. We should have such changed hearts. We care about doing what God's purpose is. Now watch this. When you use your life for the kingdom of God, he brings goodness back to you. He brings happiness back to you. He brings finances your way, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And if you're going to fulfill your purpose on earth, you have to care about people. What business is God in? He's in the people business. You have to reach beyond your world and care about those that God cares about. And what does God care about? People. And don't tell me you love God if you don't love people. Now, and people are a trip today. Sheep. Oh, my goodness. Ever feel like that little dog in the middle of the sheep herd? Yeah. Sheep. And God spoke to me years ago and reminded me, if you're going to work for me, you have to love my people. And if you don't love my people, you're carrying some baggage you need to offload. And you have to begin to say, God, let me see people through your eyes. Let me feel what you feel. Let me love people like you love them. Because in our humanity, we look at people and the stuff that they do today, and sometimes it can anger you and frustrate you and trouble you. And you pray to God and you say, God, these are yours. I don't know what to do with them, right? And help me to be more like you so I can do what you would do in this situation. God, let me see them through your eyes. Let me love them like you love them. And watch how you begin to change, and then everything begins to move forward in your life. The reason God didn't take you to heaven when you were born again, so you can fulfill your mission. The reason he didn't take you to be with him, so you can tell other people what he's done for you. God wants to use you for his glory. He wants to use your life so others won't be lost. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. And if you want to leave behind a legacy, it won't be the house you leave behind, nor the car you drive, or a gold watch you received when you retired. If you want to leave a legacy behind you, you must know you have a mission. You have to care about the things God cares about, people. And that's why you have to share the good news. I believe that I have some witnesses here who are going to be a little more bold about telling your journey this week. Number seven, in the next life, all that will matter is what you did for God's kingdom. That's it. And that's going to last a lot longer than the one you're in now. It won't matter how many conferences you attended. Well, I went to this conference last week. No, you didn't care about that. Okay? It won't matter the square footage of your house. It won't matter how much money you had in the bank. All that will matter, what did you do for my kingdom? That's all he wants to know. It won't matter what people said about you. All that matters with what God says about you. And two things that you can do to lay up treasure in heaven. Matthew says, don't store up treasures, or Jesus said, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Two things you can do to lay up treasures in heaven. You heard it earlier. You bring the tithe, that's the Lord's, and offerings to the house of God. Those are commandments of Scripture so that lives can be changed and saved and discipled. Second, you win souls yourselves. Everybody's responsible. Sheep bear sheep. You support the work of the church and you win souls. Both things. That's what all of us can do. In the book of Acts, it says that David served God's purpose in his time. After David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried. You think about what that says. And that's my prayer for everybody, that all of Calvary Christian Center will serve God's purposes here. Say, I will serve God's purpose in my lifetime. Because when you come to the end of your life, you may be able to say that you served God's purpose in your generation. My prayer is that when I pass, somebody is going to say, Pastor served God's purpose in his lifetime. Whether you're 16 or 96, it's never too late with God to say, I'm ready to do this for you. I'm ready to get my life turned in the right direction. I will live for your purpose and not mine. Because one day, human history will come to an end, but eternity will last forever. And the only thing you're going to take with you into eternity is people, not the economy of this world. It's not going there. Doesn't work in his kingdom. None of human government is going to go there because that doesn't work in his kingdom. It's a theocracy. He's the king. That's it. All you can take with you into eternity is people. So it's time we wake up and understand the lateness of the hour, and we recognize it's time to be alert to what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us. And this is the reason we do events like Camelot and Christmas and Memorial Day, not to entertain you, to get one more soul into his kingdom. That's why we go to the prison. That's why we do sidewalk kids in parks in the neighborhoods. Why? To reach more people. That's why we have connect groups, to disciple, to grow, to develop in turn, so they can go and reach more people. Get one more person before it's too late, because we were made for mission. Say, I was made for mission. That's the purpose of your life. Life is more than getting up, going to work, coming home, making dinner, watching TV, and going to bed. Life is a whole lot more than that. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What did he mean? He meant, forget about all the stuff you're trying to accumulate to just make yourself happy, and start living for my kingdom principles. I didn't save you to just make you happy. I redeemed you to be my witness of what I'm able to do in a life, how to change it. So I got to reorganize some things to do this, Lord. I have my to-do list and my not-to-do list. And I'll take priority over both of those as I must do. I must do. I must. That person God's put in your pathway that every once in a while drops a hint to you of a thing they're going through, a need or a hurt or a development. That's not an accident. There are no coincidences in the way God has structured life. He allows people to cross our paths and then to open a door and say something so that we can then speak for him and show compassion and love and concern. And then forget all that stuff that we pursue. That's not going to go anywhere in eternity. Lose your life for his sake, and he will bring you the most abundant life to you ever. You live for him instead of self. You have fulfillment every day. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's not about us. It's about him. I wonder how many people darkening the doors of America's churches today are living wasted lives. You love Jesus as Christians, but do you share his plan with others? Your life takes on a whole new meaning when you say, Lord, use me. Use me. I'm scared. It's okay. We've all been scared doing that. Use me. That's a dangerous prayer, by the way. I dare you to pray, God, use me for your glory. God, give me people who need you. God, my aunt, my uncle, my siblings, they need you. Help me to share with them. I dare you to share your faith and watch what happens to people around you. I dare you to forget about your life and live for him. Because the word says our lives are like a vapor. They appear for a season, then they're gone. And how many times you've looked at the lives of people you cared about, you interacted with, God put them in your pathway, you even loved some of them, then they were gone. And you go, oh, is anybody going to heaven because of you? Only you can answer that question. And you wonder, should I have spoken up? Yeah, the answer to that is yes, you should have. You should have. Don't let it happen again. Well, I don't have much talent. I'm not much of a speaker. I don't put words together very well. Well, you're having conversations. It's just a conversation. That's all it is. You don't have to be an evangelist or a pastor or an apostle. You just have to tell your story. That's the best way you can share Jesus. Make yourself available, and he'll use you. He will speak right through your story. Say, and he'll whisper to them in their spirit, what I did for him or her, I will do for you if you'll just give me a shot. That's exciting. It's the great mission of the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of my creation. And then baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together and thank God for his favor in our lives. Thank you, Father. You are good. You've been good to us, better than we deserved. You've blessed us, redeemed us, born again, opportunity now for heaven and eternity. We were lost, but you found us. We didn't discover you. You came looking for us. Thank you. You sent somebody. Thank you for somebody who obeyed you. Thank you for someone who shared Jesus with us. Thank you for that person. One day I will shake his or her hand and say, thank you. You prayed for me. I'm in heaven because of you. So with eyes closed for just a couple seconds, the message of the gospel is the greatest message ever given to the human race. Our planet cannot get better by itself. People aren't going to get better because we get better education or we make more money, because we still fail and we still sin and we still break others in the process. So here's the answer. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. I shed my blood in your place. I paid the cost of your sin on the altar of my Father. And I was buried, then I rose again to give you new life. And if you are without that life, and you know you're empty and void of that life, and you know there's things unresolved, that one day every one of us is going to go stand before the one who made us and give an account. How are we going to answer the question, what did you do with the gift of my son? And if we say, I received him and ask him to wash my sins away, he'll say, enter. And if you say, I didn't want anything to do with him because I thought I could do this on my own, he will say, depart from me. I don't know you. And that's forever. So, that's straight shooting, straight talk, but you need that to make a decision. And if you need to make that decision today, lift your hand and say, I'm ready to receive Jesus. I'm ready to receive Jesus. I'm ready to be born again. I'm ready to get washed. I'm ready to get a new start. Anybody here, early service, you got this moment. You got this opportunity.